Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm addicted to money. So for the next 50 seconds, I'd like to feel dirty, inconsiderate, manipulative, and ashamed. I apparently agreed to play the game of life by the rules made by the rich in order to make them more rich. And because I feel powerless and out of control, I am asking you to listen to this ad for Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your computer or phone. Anchor will distribute your podcast wherever you can get podcasts. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And everything you need to make a podcast is in one place. So download Anchor for free on the app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So yeah, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
What's up, you guys? This is Abigail. You're listening to Amanda Pixie Weirdo. This is a mini pixie. So this is with Adam Nutter from the Cult of Us podcast. Scheduling stuff sort of like got in the way. So it's going to be a mini pixie. And it's kind of a bridge episode between scams and comedy. So I hope you guys enjoy. This is a mini pixie, a bridge episode. So we kind of, it's very manic. We're all kind of all over the place. But we'll have him on for a longer episode coming soon. So stay tuned and check that out. Bye. Thanks. Hope you enjoy.
Recording. Good to go.
Okay, perfect. I guess we can just jump right in. You're listening to The Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the relationship podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that you can have in your life. And this week we are talking to Adam Nutter. Sorry, my bad.
You're good.
From the Cult of Us podcast. He is a comic. And we're talking about scams. So I guess go ahead and tell us about you. Like, have you been scammed? I've 100% been scammed, but
I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, I was. Who hasn't been scammed, right? I mean, we'd be lying if we'd be like, No, we've all been scammed, but like, I don't know. I guess the level of a scam. I wouldn't say I've been like. I wasn't like in a Ponzi scheme. I wasn't like in a Madoff situation or ever,
right,
or anything like that.
Right.
But I'm sure we've all been scammed. You know. But even friends and family who are like, I need like $1,000, need $100, need 500, you know, like that shit. But the whole scam thing, like that fascinates me with the whole idea of it is how people get away with it, or not even get away with it, but how they go about trying to pull it. Like that's what fascinates me, is like the heist part of it, essentially, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and I kind of got into like learning about scams because I read. Hold on, I should have been. I feel really unprepared. Just a second. So I read this book, and for those of you listening, it's called "The Sting Man: Inside Abscam" by Robert W. Greene. And it was so that movie American Hustle. Was kind of, I don't even know if you could say it's supposed to be like based on real life or whatever.
Right.
I wouldn't even say it's based on real life. I would say it's like very loosely inspired by.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But this book, like, go read this book. I got this book for $7.99 at Half Price Books, but it is the most insane thing you've ever read. It reads like fiction. And basically, it's this guy. Here, I'll just read you the back of it. In February 1990, the nation learned that the FBI had been conducting a sophisticated sting operation called Abscam in an effort to combat white-collar crimes such as art theft, securities fraud, and counterfeiting. Led by Mel Weinberg, international con man par excellence, the investigation soon revealed that there was a bigger game afoot. Like, it got... several members of the House of Representatives, a U.S. senator, and a gaggle of state and city officials, and a small army of lawyers and influence brokers who specialized in government, favors. Like, it caught those people. But they basically, what they did was they got that guy, Mel Weinberg,
because
he was a famous con man. Like, that's what he did for a living. And he got caught once. He'd been doing it for like 30 something years or something crazy like that. And they caught him once. And then they were like, it was the classic, hey, if you help us out, then like, maybe we can make this go away or whatever.
I don't respect those guys.
Right. But I read that book and that sort of started my journey down this like, well, what's up with scams? And so then I read that book called The Confidence Game, and it talks about more the psychological, like the psychology of it, about like how we've all probably been scammed, but like there's that part of us that's like, oh no, I'm smarter than this. Like I can,
ego.
That's what gets us into those situations, is it's like, no, I'm smart enough to figure this out. And if so, like I can't be being scammed. And then it just like you dig yourself into a deeper hole. And so I just like, so I've read two books and like watched a bunch of YouTube videos. So now I'm an expert. So I know exactly.
That's how it works.
But I just got like really interested in it. And I, so like one of the YouTube videos that I watched was from a guy called CoffeeZilla. And that's like what he does. He just makes YouTube videos about people that have been scammed and like potential scams and stuff like that. And I was like, I've totally done, like, this is a great idea, but like, let's talk to other people. Like, let's get, because I want to know what's a comic's take on this. Like, how do you make this funny? Because this shit is sad and it sucks.
It is sad, but you got to understand, like, okay, well, first of all, I guess you got to first get into, like, what's funny, and that's subjective, right? So the second part of that is like, well, I don't think anything should be off limits to comedy, right? Like,
no,
if you
I agree.
Make it funny, totally then like, because here's the thing, and this, I'm just stealing what Patrice O'Neill used to say, but like, he used to say, and it's very true though, he'd say like, unfunny jokes and funny jokes come from the same exact place, right? It's the same exact spot. You're trying to be funny, like you're not, no comic. I mean, okay, you might have like a random comic who's a psychopath up there. We're all crazy, but I mean like a real psychopath comic who's like just spouting just crazy shit to be. But most comics, if we say something, and I'm gonna say offensive, but that's just a word for, you know, for the zeitgeist of 2021. If we see something deemed offensive in today's society, it's like, hey, we're just trying to make you laugh. Chill the fuck out. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So if you take that, now the third part of that is like, well, what's funny about like a Ponzi scheme? A lot of things, if you want to get into the dark side of it, like, you know, the fact that you might have that guy who's like married with like four kids and he's like, and then you have the guy trying to sell him the Brooklyn Bridge, right? And he's like, don't worry, honey, I think this time I'm going to fucking turn it around. And then it's like, you know, and you're like, you're going to be living under the bridge, you idiot. You know, it's
right.
Like.
Right. Well, the other thing too is that like life is kind of a scam in general. Just life in and of itself, I think, is kind of a scam in general. So it sort of comes with the territory.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense.
That is true. Oh, can you hold on once? I have to grab my dog from the other room.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. Sorry. Go for it. It's totally fine.
Bud, you want this water or not? You want it to come down? What do you want? Come on. I think he does want to come down. Yeah. All right, bud. Come on. I don't know what you're doing. So the reason I was late, by the way, the whole reason I was late, I'm sorry, it was because we just got a new dog.
Oh, on top. What
yeah,
kind?
So, he's a little Jack Russell mix.
Oh, I have a Jack Russell.
Oh, dude, he's really cute. But we also have our other 10-year-old dachshund. So... It's just actually, they're super cool together, but it's just trying to take care of, and one's 3, one's 10, and then, you know, one's on a much slower level. But the one just got neutered today, and I feel terrible because we didn't want to do it, but they forced us to because he's a rescue, and that's like a law in Pennsylvania.
Where in Pennsylvania, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I live in Newtown. I'm from Staten Island, New York.
Right,
and
I've
been married for 5 years, and my wife's from Pennsylvania, so I moved out here. When we, you know, she lives from Newtown. Now I live in Newtown. It's like a half hour from Philly.
Oh, okay. Because my grandparents, I have family that live in. Well, they used to live in Indiana, but now they live in State College. So,
okay.
I don't know where my dog is.
To go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. You mind if I take him out real quick? I'm so sorry.
Right.
I gotta take him out. I'm sorry. Cool. My wife's trying to work in the room. I feel terrible. I'm so sorry. I'll be right back.
It's chill. You're fine. It's okay. So I guess I'm going to do what comics call riffing. And that basically means I'm just going to sit here and talk while he's not here. or while he's doing something. So Scam, so I kind of want to get his, like, I really want to get Adam's take on how you make this stuff funny. Like, how do you make scams funny? I think it'd be interesting. I have a lot of respect in general for comedians, mainly because I just automatically have a lot of respect for people who do things I can't do. For that simple fact, I can't do it. And especially to do something well. And comedy is, I think it's very, very, very hard. It is, in my opinion, one of the hardest things for someone to do, because, like he said, comedy is so different. So, like, what is funny? It's, and so what is funny? Like, what is that to, and it's different because it's different for everybody. It's really difficult to be funny for a lot of people. I can make myself crack up all day. There's not a lot to it though, because I don't even think I have a specific type of, like, brand of comedy. I kind of know what I don't like in comedy. But other than that, I kind of, like, that's kind of how I approach everything though, is I kind of know what I don't like. And then I'm just kind of like, well, everything else is, it is, like, it's fine. Oh, hold on. What's this? Oh. Okay. Whatever. So, but that's just, I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel about comedy. It's just very hard. It's very difficult to be funny to a lot of people, to a large group of people. Excuse me. It's really hard to be funny. I don't know. Is this even recording? I'm going to be really upset if this isn't recording. Hold on, guys. Let's see. Stop recording. No, it's stop recording. Take a snapshot. Turn on subtitles. Choose background effect. Turn off incoming video. No, I think it's fine. It just doesn't, like, the numbers aren't moving. Okay. Well, because it just says 0.00, stop recording. Usually it'll give me, like, a time up there. So, I don't know. I guess I picked scams for us to talk about because it is really interesting. It is. It's very, to me, and it seems like to Adam it is too, just the idea of scams. And he was like, if you want a comics take, like, come on this podcast. And I was like, absolutely. Like, let's talk about that. How do you make this funny? Because it is very, and I think that's sort of the fascinating thing to me from, like, a, just like a personal perspective, is how do you take something like a scam that hurts a lot of people? You know, it's a very real thing. It's a thing that happens all the time. And it's just preying on everybody. Basically, scam artists are, you know, successful ones, like ones that are good at it. They're preying on the vulnerability and the confidence in, you know, other people, which I assume is why it's called, why she called, that woman called that her book, The Confidence Game. Anyway, but so I just like to know, I want his take on how do you do that? Because it is, like, when I was reading this book, The Sting Man, it was, like, I was laughing reading it. It was hilarious because it was just so unbelievable. It truly was. It was just so unbelievable. Like, and there's another one. There's another guy who did that. I forget what his name is. Hold on, let me check. Oh, Adam's back. I can stop talking.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just, I believe it's called riffing. I don't know, but I believe that's what it's called.
So, sorry. Oh my God. It had a total, that was a whole ordeal.
You're fine. It's fine. This is a podcast where we don't give a fuck. No, I was just saying, like, first of all, I have a lot of respect for comedians because number one, I'm not funny and I can't be funny. And I don't, that's not, no, I didn't come with that part. But also comedy is really hard. Like I've always wanted to be sort of in like the entertainment industry in some capacity, but I tried comedy like when high school, like once, and it did not go well. But,
but you're a high school kid at the time. What do you know? Like, you know nothing of life. You know nothing of jokes. You know, it's like
true.
You're just trying. Yeah, it's not a fair like judgment of like your adult abilities to try comedy.
Right, but what I realized was that it is probably the hardest form of an art form, like as a physical art form that a person could do, because one, it's hard to be funny to everybody. Like you said, what is comedy? You know,
right?
And it's really hard to be funny to like a large group of people. It's really hard to find something that like, you know, everybody can find funny.
Here's something that maybe you, okay, for a non-comic, sometimes though, if there's more people, the better chance you're casting a wider net for something to be relatable, as opposed to, let's say you have a room of 10 people.
Well, that's true.
If nothing lands for those 10, if there's no references land for those 10 people, it's just silent. But let's say you have a room of 100 people. If those 10 people don't get your references, but the other 90 people do, who gives a shit?
Right. About those 10 right. People? Well, that's fair. That's fair.
Right.
I guess I so didn't look. I'm much you know, more of a. Yeah, I guess I tend towards the pessimism side. I don't know.
No, I do too, but you know.
I but again, yeah. I think that's just an artistic person
it is.
In general.
We're all just negative. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I want to get like a comics perspective on like how to make this funny. Like how do you, because I think that's sort of a hot button issue right now, is I feel like comics, a lot of comics are in sort of hot water about like, what can we, like, what are the areas that we can tread into and what are the areas that we can't?
Right.
And I could totally see if, like, you wrote a joke about scams purely to be funny, how some people would be like, that's, like, my grandmother got scammed.
Well,
so
no, that's what would happen.
You know?
You'd be like, oh, I got my so-and-so was from Bernie Madoff. It's like, okay, dude, I don't know. It's like,
yeah.
You can't please everybody. Like, I don't know. Most of my comedy, though, is like, I don't.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, what kind of comedy do you do? I kind of know what I don't like in comedy, and then everything else is just kind of like, okay, cool. But
so I have like a.
Oh, you prop comic?
What's no, that? Not at all. So I have a pinned video on my Twitter right now that it's from like last summer. It's a bit I have about just like seeing my therapist and like.
Oh, I saw that.
Dark,
it was
yeah.
Pretty funny.
Thank you. So it's like it's just like a dark joke, but it's about me. I'm not like shitting on anybody. I'm just talking.
Right.
Yeah, most of it I'm either shitting on myself or I'm making just observations. What I think personally are dumb or wild or crazy or interesting to me, but like I'm not talking about politics. Like, you know, I have one joke where I reference my politics, but it makes it I have to kind of enhances the joke more. It builds a little more of a backstory.
Yeah.
But I'm a libertarian, so no one really gives a shit. You know what I'm saying? So people are like, whatever. It's like,
yeah.
You know, so it's like it's not even decisive when I say that. I just say that because I'm a libertarian and I hate the government. That's the setup to the rest of the joke. But that's the only reason I say that. But everything else is like very much
listen,
like no, this is I do this when I like drugs, whatever. I used to drink, whatever.
Yeah.
Like this, I'm married, stuff, whatever. You know, like but it's just stuff like that. I'm not doing anything fucking. Crazy,
like,
we're you know.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't like. I said I kind of know what I don't like in comedy, and
what
then I
like?
And then, well, okay. I'm not a comedy like movie person. I don't do comedy movies a lot. I guess I'm sort of like realizing again that it's a little bit more complicated than that because
that's not stand up though. That's totally different.
I love stand up. I love stand-up. I have just, like, a whole thing saved on my Netflix of just, like, stand-up and YouTube and, you know, all that. I love stand-up. I think the only comedy movie that I ever saw that I liked, like, recently was The Internship with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. I liked that one. And that's not even recent. And the other, and then the other recent comedy movie that I liked is Guess Who's Coming Together, or Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Spencer Tracy. And like, those are my two comedy films.
That's so random. I mean, I could Anchorman.
I don't like that kind of comedy. I don't like Will Ferrell's kind of comedy. I also don't really, I like Jim Carrey more now that I'm older.
Yeah, Ace Ventura. Jesus Christ.
I like him more than I'm now that I'm older. But I don't like, I just don't like Will Smith. I also don't like Adam Sandler. I just don't find that stuff funny. Like, it's just not funny to me.
So that's fair, because I actually had a debate with a few other people a few weeks ago about Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey. And I was like, Jim Carrey is definitely better actor.
I would
say
too. Yeah.
And he has better movies for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you.
Okay, I guess that's true. I liked Iron Man and The Truman Show. Or Liar, Liar. I can't think. Liar, Liar and The Truman Show. I liked both of those. Well, and
yeah, Truman Show was good.
But, those are... So I just... Like I said, I kind of know what I don't like. So I don't like Adam Sandler's kind of humor. I don't like Will Ferrell's kind of humor. But then everything else is pretty much, like, open.
How about like 40-year-old version, like those movies?
I've never seen them because I don't like. I'm jaded because I don't like comedy movies. So it's like instantly when I see that it's a comedy movie, I'm like, I'm not going to see that.
Did you ever see Superbad?
No. I've seen like clips of it, you know, like because it's one of those movies that'll be like on TV.
So Superbad. Okay, maybe Superbad holds more to me because when it came out, I was like. Either in college or just graduating college, so I was like young, and it hit very much like, home. I think I was a freshman in college or sophomore in college.
So I was like 8 years old.
No, I'm old. I'm 34.
27. Be quiet. That's like tomorrow.
It's not. You don't understand how big of a gap that is. It's so big. I'm telling you.
Oh.
It's big. I remember 20.
Well, but I also say that like I have a sister who's like 13, and I'm like, oh my god, yeah. You couldn't pay me to go back to be 13. But it's just real. Like she's like, the sky is falling, and I'm like, it's not.
I'll be honest with you. I prefer 34 over 27.
Really? Okay. So gets better, guys.
Well. No, definitely doesn't. But it definitely doesn't. It's harder if anything. But like, no, I just have more. Like, I was essentially a dumb person in my entire 20s.
Oh, you know, well, like, I feel like we all are.
Right.
I still don't feel like an adult. Like,
no,
I'm,
no,
still
I'm still
like
a
this...
dumb person, but I'm less dumb than I was in my 20s, and that's worth it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Learning from all my stupid mistakes. Like, I still am dumb, but, like, I still screw up all the time, for sure. But, oh. But like, yeah, it's just I'd rather have the knowledge now of my past mistakes than, you know.
Oh, yeah, that stupid question of, like, if you could go back and redo it, like, would you? My answer is always no.
Oh, I would, yeah. Yes, yes.
You would? What would you redo?
Certain decisions and stuff. Like, I would do comedy. I would stick with comedy earlier.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, when did you, like, find that? When did you find that comedy was, like, your thing?
So, I always loved comedy. Like, I was always a stand-up fan, like when I was a kid, you know, and then I would listen to like Opie and Anthony in the morning back in, you know, come from New York and stuff like that, and like those comics I always loved, like Jim Norton, Patrice O'Neill, Bobby Kelly, those guys. And at 18, you know, I'm from Staten Island, so Manhattan's right across the goddamn river,
right.
So I was like, oh shit, I could do stand-up now, I'm 18. I was like, I could try it.
Yeah.
And I went to the comic strip, which was an awful, it's like a failing comedy club essentially now.
Oh,
but yeah, it's been for years. I was like, it's like where Jerry Seinfeld started, but it was like big in the 70s and
80s. Oh, okay.
But
in the 90s.
But I did my very first open mic there, and I was like, oh, I love this, I think. And then, you know, like I fell in love with it.
What did you fall in love with? Like, what was it specifically that you fell in love with comedy? Like when you performed, like what was it? Or
just like the joke. Just like the joke telling, the grappling with the audience, like trying to figure out like what makes them laugh, like even just trying to figure out what makes, you know, like that's the whole thing.
Right.
It's like a puzzle. It's like chess.
Oh yeah.
And then it's also working on like your routine and like building an act, you know.
Right, right, right. But you like that whole, that just that whole structure of it, like all of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, that's what you felt like.
That. I always, awesome. Yeah. Also, just make people laugh is that's the number one. That's right. A great feeling. But yeah, it's like, yeah, it was always, I feel like the chest thing a little bit too. It's like you know, it's a high. It is a high too. It's like,
oh yeah,
you know, for sure. It's a lot of things.
Yeah. No, I guess sort of side. I digress. Like, I sort of have this life philosophy, and it's like, I have a very, very sick, twisted sense of humor. I just know that about myself. And basically that comes from, I'm either going to laugh or I'm going to cry. And I would much rather laugh, because if I cry, I don't know if I'm going to stop. So I would just rather laugh and make everything a joke. Is that kind of the experience that you get as a comic, or like, is that sort of a common thread, or is that not at all true?
Everyone's different, right? So like, for me personally, I always just like to make every sad part of, you can't, okay, something sad happens or negative, you can't change it,
right?
That's right. It's irreversible. So it's mm-hmm. done. It's done. Well, might as well try to find the funny in it.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
There's no point into not. And I definitely am in the minority in that, because I know most people around me to disagree. And they're like, "We, that's not funny." I'm like, well, it is. You know, but it is funny. Like, it doesn't make it, just because something's tragic, doesn't make it not funny.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just how it is. Like, that's just, yeah. Sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Double standards exist. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
There's
like,
nothing I can do. Yeah, no, I totally get that. Have you ever talked about like scams or anything in your?
No, I never talked about scams or anything like that. No, because
I just, well,
it's
I
very
also
specific. It's a very specific.
Yeah,
I would have to have like a story of like, you know, a very specific story of that happening to me, or like someone in my family, or like, or again, maybe when the Madoff thing was big and I was like doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe.
Yeah.
But just to be like a bit about scams, like, I'm not that type of comic. I know there are comics,
right.
Totally. But like, I could be like, "Yo, scams." You'd be like, "Give me a day," and he'll come back with a fucking, cool, you know, 20 jokes about scams. And I'm like,
oh,
I can't do that. That's not my thing. That's not. I can't write like that. I can't work. You know. So I just, again, I base my stuff off of observations, what happens to me personally.
Right.
But a lot of guys could just be like, "Oh yeah, get a vacuum cleaner." Yeah. I'll write 20 jokes about a vacuum cleaner.
I feel like that would be a good like comedy writing exercise.
Oh,
I guess
they are.
Pick
yeah.
random like random objects around your house,
yeah,
and write jokes about it. But I feel like I would just get very bored really quickly. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not, because like, I don't have that focus. I don't have the focus to be able to just sit there and go, okay, there's a Kleenex box. Come up with 15 things that are hilarious about a Kleenex box. I don't know.
Like a lot of really famous headlining comics will be like, you sit down and write every day, and they're not wrong, but it's like, but that doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
So like, I can't sit down and be like, okay, today I'm just going to write. Like, now what I can do, and I do this a lot, is I'll have a premise in my head already.
Mm.
And I'll be like, oh, I'm going to try to sit down and write this shit out today.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But I can't just go to like a diner and be like, okay, I'm gonna fucking just write jokes. I can't do it. I have to go there with a purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already like, okay, I have this joke about the dump, Staten Island dump. Okay, now I have it kind of worked out. Now let me go down and write it. Now I'll take like an hour or two or three or whatever to try to rewrite it, reword it, redo shit like that. But some guys can just be like, I'm gonna sit, like my friend who I do my podcast with, Cult of Us, Neil Wood. He's a great comic too. But like, check us out. He could just write.
Oh, jealous.
And I'm like, all right, man. Good for you.
I don't think I could do that. I can't. Well, I know I couldn't do that. Just like sit down and just like force myself, because it would feel like that sort of, to me, I guess, would take. Like, that would just be very soul sucking for me. I don't know if that would, it would feel more like a job. Like, I have to do this instead I want to do this.
You know what it is? It's like, if you don't, here's the problem with comedy too. Is like, if you don't treat it like a job.
Oh no.
No. Like, you'll fuck yourself. Like, you, I, but like, there's a lot of times where I'm like, what am I even doing? Like, this isn't real, you know? And like, I'm like, no, I have to be serious. Like, I have to, like, I'm like, you know, come on, this is like, I make money this way.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Like, sometimes, sometimes, like, we'll be on, like, before COVID, like, you're on the road with, like, your friend or two, you know, doing shows, and, like, the three of you in our hotel room, and you're talking about, like, you know, like, what dog is more attractive, and not in a sexual way, just, like, in a fucking, like,
yeah.
You know, and then you'd be like, hey, guys, stop right now. What other job in the planet?
Right.
Would three of us be getting away with doing this, and it's like, this is just a day of the life. Like, we're lucky in that sense, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? But it's also, like, you shouldn't respect us, because that's also what we do. Like, you definitely shouldn't respect. Like, you definitely shouldn't respect. I always say this too. Like, in the entertainment world, sometimes I say this on stage. I'm like, you guys have to understand. Like, comics, we are the least respected of all entertainers. It goes like this. It goes, number one and two, flips them back and forth, or actors and musicians, right?
Yeah.
Then it's everything else.
Right.
Clowns, mimes, and then fucking comedians. It's like, everyone gets more respect because everyone thinks they could do what we do, but no one looks at a musician and goes, I could do that.
Well, actually, a lot of people do, but they never do. See, I've seen that, though. I think that's a part of, I don't know what that is, actually. I want to explore that. What is that? Because I have met people like that are like, oh, I could do that. And then my response is always, well, then do it.
I think,
because that's what people need. Like, if you think that it's that easy, you do it, because that'll give you some sort of, like, you know, understanding of, like, no, this isn't just as easy as you think. It's not. It doesn't work that way. This is hard.
I could only speak, I guess, on comedy. This is my only, I guess, just my bro science opinion is, I think it's because everyone makes someone in their life laugh at some point. Or everyone, you know what I'm saying? So you have somebody in your life that for sure you crush with. Like, you're like, everything I say, that person.
Right.
Like, or you're the funny guy at the office, or whatever the fuck it is. But that's not the same. But people think it is. So they'll be like, oh, I could make people laugh. It's like, okay, good luck.
Yeah. No, I get that. I see. And like I've said that before, like, it's different. Because my podcast is just me. And then I just, like, interview people and talk and stuff like that. But it's different when it's just like me. I can make myself laugh, but that's very different than walking out on a stage, even like a small stage full of like 50 people, and making 50 people laugh. That's very different.
It's so different. People don't get it. And like, some people, by the way, like, will go to open mic and like, be like, I'm the office funny guy, and do it. And they're like, oh, they're actually pretty good at this. But like, most guys like aren't. I'm saying guys because this is usually like usually women don't have that attitude with that shit. Oops, sorry, gate fell. That was just the gate. Usually women don't have that attitude with like the oh, I could do that too. That's a very guy attitude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
I guess I never noticed that.
I'm also besides me being a nerdy comic dude, I'm also a former jock. I played football for a long time, did mixed martial arts, and everyone you're around who does like football, not so much MMA, but football, a lot of that's like, I could fucking do that. I could throw the ball through that. It's like, it's a bro got frat guy mentality. Not even frat guy. It's like kind of like a dude mentality. Like, it's like an alpha shit. And I get it, because I do that too.
Oh, okay. So, I was wondering that. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I see that. Because I was like, I'm going to get canceled for this, but
nah, I haven't. You're good.
I don't really see that from a lot of like theater nerds.
So interesting fact. I have a good. I don't want to throw him under the bus because he kind of does a podcast in that world. People won't know who I'm talking about anyway. Fuck.
Proud theater nerd.
So my buddy, he's a comic, but he's also like a theater. Like, he went to college for theater, but he's not a theater kid. Like, he's a jock comic dude. But he went to, because he also likes to act. He can sing. He also likes to act and stuff. But he tells me all the time. He's like, yo, those theater kids are fucking cutthroat.
Well,
they're fucking vicious.
It's very like, so, okay. So like, the theater world is much more like Mean Girls.
Right.
So if you were to do it, it would be like theater kids and like choir freaks, like all of us. We're very like Slytherin, Mean Girls, cutthroat. Like it is bitchy as fuck. Whereas like jocks, y'all will just, you'll just settle it right now. Like let's just figure this out and then we're done and then it's over. Like whoever won and then it's fucked. Like
right. it's weird. It's weird. How, like every form of entertainment has a dumb, its own cliques and dumb shit. It's like so everything's so. Yeah, I'm also sorry to cut you off, but I also kind of have to wrap it up soon because I got to help with the dog. He's losing her goddamn mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, that's fine. That's totally cool. We can wrap it up. I will have to get you guys back on the podcast though.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm really feel bad because usually I'm very like I could talk for hours, and usually, but this is like the worst. And like it was my fault. I totally didn't realize it was today that we were getting this dog. And then when you texted me this morning, I was like, ah, shit. I was like, that's today, isn't it?
It's totally cool. It's completely fine. Well, then I guess we can just sort of like wrap it up here. And I will get you guys back on. No, it just, it sure. gives you an excuse to come back.
No, I would definitely love to. And I promise next time you'll have me for as many hours as you want, uninterrupted by dogs. I'll go down to the studio so I can't even be here.
So I totally get it.
The situation. I'll just go to the studio or record the podcast. Don't worry.
It'll be fine. It's totally fine. I will hold you to the rain check, though, because you are pretty funny.
No, I promise you. Listen, I'm a comic. I have nothing going on. I Fair will do point. It. Trust me. Don't worry. We'll
well,
do it
I'm a voice world. Actor, so I have nothing going on either.
Boom, you get it. We've yeah. got nothing going on collectively. It's fine. We'll exactly. do it in a week or two.
We'll
sure.
do nothing together.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So thank you, Adam Nutter, for coming on from the Cult of Us podcast. Go check it out. Go ahead and drop all your stuff. And then if you could text it to me or something like over Twitter so I can
yeah,
put
no,
it in the
sure.
description.
Just at Adam Nutter on Twitter, Instagram, Adam Nutter Comedy on Facebook and TikTok. Yeah, I'm on TikTok, I know. And then Cult of Us, that's available. My podcast, that's my main podcast, is available everywhere on YouTube, youtube.com/Cult of Us. If you guys want to help us out on Patreon, patreon.com/Cult of Us, $1 gets you access to all the extra stuff. I also do a sports podcast, Slapstick Sports, and my other podcast I do is Garbage Opinions Podcast. I do with a few other podcasters. We just kind of riff about garbage opinions that we have. That's pretty much it. But check those all out. They're available everywhere. Follow me and all that good stuff.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We'll definitely do it again.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with him. Like I said, this is kind of a bridge episode between comedy and scams. So it's a mini pixie. It's very manic. I'm really sorry about that. But it's cool. It's going to be fine. He's going to come back and we're going to talk to him more about all these things, comedy, scams, relationships with all of those things. I just kind of wanted to put it out there, give you kind of a taste of where those longer episodes are going to come from. So that's why this is a mini bridge pixie episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys liked it. If you did, please like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube. It helps the channel a lot. And if you could rate and review us on iTunes, the podcast, on iTunes podcast or Apple podcast or whatever it is, that really, really helps us a lot. I do feel kind of gross still asking you guys to do this, but it really does help a lot. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to email us, if you want to email me, us, I keep saying us, it's not a thing. It's just me. You can do that at manicpixieweirdo at protonmail.com. So tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, if you could relate to it, if you have a story, if you have a topic that you want to cover, if you want me to cover, absolutely go ahead, shoot me an email at manicpixieweirdo at protonmail.com. Follow us on all the things, Twitter at @mpweirdopodcast. Instagram is the_main_weirdo1. Instagram, Twitter, all the things. Like I said, I'm still working on the Patreon, getting that up. Or not the Patreon, excuse me. We're not there yet. We're not doing that yet. No. Pinterest. So sorry about that. I will keep you guys updated and stay tuned for that. So hope you guys liked it. Thank you so much for listening. As always, be kind and stay weird. Love y'all. Bye.